Yeah, just Chumash. Thanks. Parsha. The midwives and heroes is what we're talking about. Thank you. This is a little more complicated than what we usually do. I'm hopeful that it will still be clear despite that. It's a story that is familiar. Or I would expect that it would be familiar. Everyone got it? Okay, beginning of Sefer Shmos. Pasuk Tesvav. Right? Perek Aleph Pasuk Tesvav. I'm gonna read the Psukim and translate them using the usual read, what we tend to learn in school, comes from the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Aleph. Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lami Yalados HaIvrios. Right? The Egyptian king said to the Hebrew midwives, Ashashem Achaz Shifra V'Shem Ashinis Pua. One of them is named Shifra, one of them is named Pua. The Gemara tells us that's Yocheved and Miriam, right? This rings a bell. Vayomer Bialechenes HaIvrios Risen Al HaAvnayim. He says to them, when you help the Hebrew women give birth, and you see on the birthing table, if it's a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, she shall live. The midwives revered Hashem. They didn't do what the king told them to do, but and in fact they kept the boys alive. Not only did they let them live, but they actually nourished them. They fed them, whatever. And the king calls the midwives. They say, what in the world are you doing? Why are you keeping the kids alive? And they say to Paro, because the Hebrew women, they're not like the Egyptian women. Right? They are strong. Before the midwife even gets there, they give birth. What am I supposed to do? Vayetev Elokim Lamialados. And Hashem benefited the midwives. Vayirev ha'am vayatzmu ma'od, and the nation becomes many, right? Because after all, the midwives aren't, killing the boys. Vayirev ha'am, the nation becomes many, vayatzmu ma'od, they become very mighty. Vayiki aru'a me'aldos esal Elokim, vayas lehem batim. And because the midwives revered Hashem, therefore Hashem gave them batim, which we understand to be families, and as the Medrash tells us, families of Kehuna, Levia, Malchus. Vayitzav Paro l'chol amo le'mor, and Paro commanded his whole nation, saying, we're going to try something different. Kol abin ha'yilod ayor tashlichu. If you see a baby boy that's born, throw him into the river, v'chol abas t'chayun, and keep the girls alive. Standard version of the story, that's what they taught me in school. Questions regarding this version of the story. So because we don't have a lot of time for it, and this is, again, a little more complicated than we usually do, I'm just going to give you four questions that I would ask, even though you could ask way many more questions. Number one, did Power really expect two women to be able to manage all those births? Yeah. I mean, isn't that a little bizarre?
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, if you look back at the pasuk that talks about Hashem benefiting the midwives, right? Vayetev Elokim Lami Alados, pasuk Chaf, right? Hashem benefited the midwives. What exactly is the benefit that Hashem gave them? Because it's the next line that's going to say Hashem made families for them.
Right.
Vayaslam Batim. But what is Vayetev? What was that benefit? It almost sounds like the benefit was that God made the nation many, which doesn't make any sense,
right,
because how does that benefit them? Maybe.
Well, their business.
It's good for business. We're going to give that answer. Hang in there. The third question, what happened with Paro and the midwives at the end of the story? Like, did Paro, when they said, these Jews, they give birth too quickly, did Paro say, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Uh-huh. Where's the end of the conversation?
Right.
And last, you stress here that they revered God. They feared God. Is it really a demonstration of fear of God when Jewish women don't kill Jewish babies? Like, is that the height of righteousness?
I mean, it depends.
Yeah.
Even with their lives on the line. I'm sorry. Even, not just Yahar Galiavar, as a human being. Are you seriously believing that they would have done that?
Right.
It boggles the mind.
They shouldn't have been rewarded?
They shouldn't be described as they revered God.
Mm-hmm.
They were human beings. I mean, that's
no,
not
No, I would
like,
imagine that the women of the Mitzrayim, after this was all going on, were probably trying to have babies on their own, not going to midwives, hiding in their bedrooms, having babies so that their babies wouldn't
yeah.
be killed.
Okay.
So the fact that there were two known midwives that they could go to that they knew would help them, you know, probably saved a lot of lives.
Yeah, but I just, it's just the description of being God-fearing is what sticks. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for me. As you'll see, the Mefarshim are bothered by this. The version that you learned in school is true to the Gemara in Sota, and I'm certainly never going to challenge that. However, the Mefarshim take a different approach, or some of the Mefarshim take a different approach. And the answers to our questions give us a much fuller understanding of what could have been going on here. First of all, they're not necessarily two women. Mefarshim suggests there's an army of midwives. Different explanations. I gave you on the sheet, if you look at number 4 on the sheet, I gave you just a list. Sfarno says there are two midwives in the capital city, in Mitzrayim, and they're the ones who Paro summons, but there are a bunch, you know, everywhere. Ibn Ezra and the Netziv say these two are the ones in charge.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be controlling, and all the midwives are in fact disobeying.
They're part of disobeying. They,
right, but there's an army of disobeying midwives.
Yeah.
Malbim says that there are two types of midwives. There's one who assists the birth and the other one who handles things once the baby comes out. So Shifra is one class of midwife and Pua is one class of midwife.
Okay. So it's almost like a label.
Yeah, exactly. These are the Shifras and these are the Puas.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah.
What's the reason again for them having different names? Is the understanding...
Because they describes their activities. If you look at Rashi...
No, I mean, I understand that. But like, okay, if I wasn't looking at the Malbim, if I was just reading it, like, what is the reasoning for them being referred to as Shifra and Pua here, but us knowing that they were actually Miriam and Yochabed?
Oh, why within that? Right, I don't know. I've heard different answers. I don't like any of them. Meaning asking the question within the Gemara, why, within the Gemara's view that Shifra and Pua are Miriam and Yochabed, why didn't the text just say Miriam and Yochabed?
Were they hiding their identity?
Why would they hide their identity?
Because they're doing something illegal.
They're hired by Paro.
Paro
knows who they are.
This is actually a really good explanation to that question, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't referring to their names. It was referring to jobs.
Which is the Gemara's, the Gemara says that's how they came by those names, Shifra and Pua, was to describe their activities. But the question is still, but why doesn't the Torah say Miriam and Yochebed? I mean, the reason to say they are Miriam and Yochebed is very sharp. It makes sense to say this is Yochebed because keep in mind, When Moshe is taken out of the water, right? When Moshe's taken out of the water and they can't nurse Moshe, so Miriam says, I'm gonna get you Ishame Nekes Minha Ivrios. I'm gonna get you a nursemaid from the Ivrios, and it ends up being Yocheved. It makes a lot of sense if Yocheved is known to them as a midwife. She's involved with babies already.
But
so,
if you go according to the Malbim, it's not as crazy to think that they weren't really called out as names, because we're describing titles.
Yes, correct. No, Malbim makes 100% sense.
Doctor,
assistant, nurse practitioner. Yeah.
So that's number one, is that there's an army of disobeying midwives who are involved in this whole escapade. That's number one. Number two is Vayetev. Hashem benefited the midwives by making the Jews many. The way that Hashem helps them, before he gives them batim, which we're going to come back to, Hashem makes the Jews many. Because when you look at the language in the Pesukim, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it's really wordy, right? Vayetev Elokim Lamialados. Hashem benefited the midwives. Then it says, the nation became many and mighty. And then it says, because the midwives revered Hashem, Vayas Lehem Batim. He made them houses. So, is the benefit the growth of the nation? If so, what's the business about giving them houses? Right? If the benefit is the same as the houses, if the benefit is the houses, then what's the business about the nation becoming many? How do I fit that? So one approach is to say the benefit is a standalone item. It's separate from the growth of the Jews. And I gave you a bunch of different approaches there just listed for you. Abarbanel says the benefit that Hashem gave them was actually Hashem made them good. In the same way that the Medrash that says that the Mitzrim, Vayareyu Osanu HaMitzrim, the Mitzrim made us bad, Vayetev Elokim LaMialdos, Hashem made the Mialdos good. That's a Barbanel. No, good people. Rav Chaim Ibn Attar, the Or HaChaim, suggests that it's Hashem gave them wealth, and they used it to feed the babies. Vayetiv Elokim lami aldos. Hashem benefited them. They fed the babies, and therefore the Jews became many.
Oh, so it's a product of the Vayetiv Elokim lami aldos.
Correct.
But weren't they having 6 at a time babies? Was that the many?
So that's another approach to where they became many from. They could be both. The another approach is, as you see on here, that it was protection. The Ksava Kabbalah of Mecklenburg and the Nitziv suggest Hashem made Paro believe them. And that's how they survived. Or Malbim, just straight out, Hashem protected them from Paro, which explains you know, where things went. But there's another school of thought. And this is a key piece of this, of where we're going. And that is the reward for the midwives was that the Jews became many. As Dasi already anticipated, Abarbanel says, so that they paid the midwives well. Right? They have more babies, more birth, there's good business.
Yeah. They, well, just better they're paying people for their work, like the slaves didn't get paid.
No, but there's just more business, there's more babies being born.
I know, but why are they paying them at all?
Yeah, I don't know. The Or HaChaim and the Chasim Sofer in Taras Moshe suggests that it's mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Hashem gave them mitzvah opportunities.
Right.
Another approach, though, is that it was protection for them. The Rush writes, and others do as well, as I noted here, that it was an alibi for them. The more Jews there are, the more compelling it is to say to Paro, we just can't manage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
These Jews, there's no way that we could actually do it. Also an interesting idea, the Bechor Shor is another idea, but just I want to make sure to get to the key points here.
But
we're coming back to that. So the first message here is that there is an army of disobeying midwives. The second point is that the benefit that Hashem gives the midwives is the growth of the Jewish people for reasons that we're going to come back to. Third, Paro did not give up. The midwives may well have been, in fact, in danger. Some do say Paro accepted the alibi and gave up, like we just said. The Chizkuni actually is of the view that there really were two midwives, which at this point, we're all sitting here thinking, why? But the Chizkuni says there are only two midwives, and that's why Paro accepts their alibi. But others suggest no. This is a classic example of where we are all biased in the way we read a pasuk from the Gemara. Go back to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The midwives revered Hashem. Vayas lahem batim, and he made houses for them. He could be Paro. We always read it the way the Medrash reads it, and it makes sense because Elohim was an antecedent sort of in the pasuk.
Like little hospitals.
Possibly. The Rav Haigon, who we're going to talk about next week, is quoted in the Ibn Ezra to say that it's Hashem making them houses, meaning concealing them from Paro. But others suggest that Paro did it as an aggressive measure. Either he makes houses lahem for the midwives to keep them away from the Jewish women, meaning he says, you're living there. I don't want you getting involved. Or just the opposite, houses to make the midwives more successful. You see what I brought you on the sheet. Either, Chaim Paltiel says, he gave the midwives homes among the Jews so that they'd be close at hand, they can get to the women in time. Or, Abarbanel Malbim suggests, hospitals.
Right.
Place for the pregnant women to be, but not for a good reason, but in order to enable them to be more successful, because now you can monitor and know when the babies are going to be born.
Yes.
Right? Like the, not unlike that Medrash about Moshe. How did they know that Moshe was there in the house? Why did they have to get rid of Moshe? The answer is because they were keeping tabs on when the women were due, and Moshe's born 3 months early, and then after 3 months, they know. So, your third piece to the puzzle here, and I apologize for going quickly, I hope this is still somewhat sensible, we'll try, is that Paro doesn't give up, and the midwives could really be in danger here. And the fourth is that the midwives may not have been Jewish at all. The midwives may have been, God fearing, you're going to say that? The midwives are God fearing Egyptians. In the popular read, it's always that these are Jewish women. The Rashbam, who is a pshat commentator down the line, says, yeah, it's obvious, these are Jewish women. And the Gemara, of course, has it as Shifra and Pua being Yocheved and Miriam, like we said.
Or maybe Paro didn't know that they were Jewish.
Maybe Pharaoh didn't know who they were and they were disguised as Shiphrah and Puah.
Oh, that would be interesting. I never thought about that possibility. I had assumed that he knew who he was hiring, but that would contribute to the Torah naming them Shiphrah and Puah. It's because Pharaoh thinks they're Shiphrah and Puah. It's definitely an interesting idea for sure. It's not so shocking to think that Pharaoh would have tried to use Jewish women for this. This goes back to your comment before about the kapos, because remember that at the end of Parsha Shmos, we learn that the Jews have shotrim, right? And the shotrim are Jews themselves who are responsible for being the overseers of the Jewish slaves. So it's not so strange to think Pharaoh would have gone this route. Nonetheless, many argue, there are midrashim to this effect, that these are actually Egyptians. Malbim says that's pshat. Malbim says that's the simple read, is that these are Egyptian women. And it makes sense, because first of all, the Kli Yakar says, and this goes back to my question, why is this called God-fearing that the Jewish women don't want to kill Jewish babies? The answer is these aren't Jewish women. Mm-hmm. These are Egyptian women. Yeah. That's the Kli Yakar. And Abarbanel says, because I think Pharaoh was not going to trust Jewish women to do it.
Right, I mean, he thinks smart. Why would he think that they would go kill?
Well, people? The same way that he uses Jews to enslave other Jews on the line, in the field. Correct. Yes. That's Abarbanel's point. So putting all of this together, we have a more complicated narrative with what is, to me, a very interesting lesson. Take a look at the end of the sheet, and I gave you now a reread of the psukim. And the Egyptian king told the representative Egyptian midwives, right, the representatives of, or it's all of them, assembled, whatever you want to say, midwives of the Hebrews, one named Shiphrah and one named Puah, however we're now going to read that. And he said, when you birth the Hebrew women and you see on the birthing table, if it's a son, then kill him, and if it's a daughter, then she shall live. And the midwives revered Hashem, and they did not follow the Egyptian king's instructions. They kept the boys alive. And the Egyptian king called the midwives. He said to them, why have you done this? You have kept the boys alive. And the midwives told Pharaoh, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are strong. Before the midwives come to them, they give birth. And Hashem benefited or protected, depending on how you read Vayetev. Either he gave them wealth or whatever it was, or he protected them from Pharaoh, making the nation many and very mighty as a means of benefiting, protecting them. And it was because the midwives revered Hashem and Pharaoh made housing for the midwives or pregnant women. It shouldn't be boys, when the midwives. It is because, but it's a because slash when. Because the midwives revered Hashem, Pharaoh made housing for the midwives or for the pregnant women. Either housing for the midwives to keep them away or housing for the pregnant women in order to be able to monitor them. Either way. And Pharaoh then commanded his nation with the next step. It's a whole different read. But I'll take your question in 1 second, Achama.
Yeah.
The lesson to me is a really important one because it influences how we view the Egyptians. There are two models in Mitzrayim, right? The one that we always think of is the Egyptians enslaved the Jews, right? They drown in the Yom Suf because all of them are harming us in one way or another. Some are less, some are more, some are intermediate. Right, we have the pasuk that describes the firstborn of the Shifcha, Asher Achar HaRechayim, the firstborn of the maid dying also, and Rashi there says, because they enslaved the Jews as well, we were slaves to slaves, that's all one. And then on the other hand, you have Pharaoh's daughter, who knows that Moshe is a Hebrew, and yet doesn't kill him, goes against her own father, and says, I'm going to save him, and she ends up raising him as though he's an Egyptian in the palace. The two different models. And this story...
That was like selfish a bit. No, she wants him.
I mean, we have no reason to think she couldn't have had children, beyond that.
We're
not given any sort of evidence like that. As a matter of fact, there are those who suggest that the Melech Hadash, the new Pharaoh, is her son. Mm-hmm. So this story tells us, if I read it this way, that there are more Egyptians like Batya, mm-hmm. or Bitya, as she's named in Divrei Hayamim. There are more Egyptians on that model, and Hashem recognized it, and Hashem rewarded them for it. It's a different view of what's going on in Mitzrayim that I think is really worth thinking about.
Well, that would also make sense from the payment. If it was Egyptian women, they would be getting paid for their services. If it wasn't Miriam and Yochabed,
that's a good point. So that would help support
that
the payment.
Support that, like they were Egyptian ladies, they were doing a job.
So
right?
When it got many, they took the
provisions. And Hashem rewarded them.
Right, mm-hmm. I hear that. Nechama, you were going to say?
Yes, it's interesting. The pasuk that says, and the Egyptian
king called the midwives and he said to them, oh, and then they responded, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. That response would come more from
an Egyptian woman.
Yes, that's an a midwife.
Right. You think you know women. Yes, exactly. These Jews over there,
because
they're not like
why would the Hebrew defend themselves? Like, she's putting them down in front of Paros, so it would just make more sense.